The original HP 65 only had 100 program steps, so it was quite a jump in memory capacity. The machines that we have on the market today, and one of the features of a programmable calculator, especially a pocket programmable calculator, is that it puts all of the computing circuitry inside a package that is going to fit into your pocket, plus the fact that it's going to be battery operated and give you quite a few hours of use, totally free of any location or power source. So I'm just going to skim through here just to provide you with some idea of what one of these machines look like inside. And if somebody wants to, and I can't see, there I can see a little better here if I get this light off, out of my eyes. If you have some questions, I'll try to stop, but I would rather move along here because we're not going to dwell too much on the hardware. I think you're more interested in the application side of it. So we'll turn the machine over, and this is what the back looks like. Take the back off, and it's not very exciting. Inside, we see the batteries, the three white areas there in the center. We see the little electric motor up on the top left, and that's what actually drives the magnetic card through the machine. So you stick it in, and the motor will start and pulls the magnetic card through it and records reads into the program memory the program or data. That little board down the right-hand side contains the card reader head electronics. And on the very bottom here, below the batteries there, we have the electronics. And the bottom black rectangle there is a DIP, a dual inline package, and that's the microprocessor. The big chip above there is associated with what HP calls a smart card reader. And the small little chips, the four vertical little black rectangles there are integrated circuits that contain ROM and RAM for the internal calculator functions. And this is one of the things that differentiates a calculator from a computer, and that is you can press a key and it will go off and do a dedicated function. In the case of this particular machine, there are 250 defined instructions that the calculator can handle. Let's go forward.
How much memory is in there, just in computer terms?
Boy. Of the four ROM RAMs, I'm not sure of the number, 4,000 bits. Maybe somebody has the number off the top of their head. Another question?
24 10-bit words per ROM.
Okay, there you go. 1,024 10-bit words.
Two cards, one with data and one with program, put 2.5K in the machine.
We'll see some of the magnetic cards here a little later on. The capability of taking those 224 program steps and putting them on a magnetic card represents quite an amount of storage. And I'd like to save some of these very precise questions until later because we are running on time and it's going to be difficult to get through here. This is the back of the board. It's a standard electronics double-sided printed board. We've taken the board out now and it plugs into those little pins sticking across the bottom of the machine, and we've turned the other board over so we can see the side there. Now we take that base plate out, and these little fingers at the top, just below that little black rectangle, that's the gear drive of the motor. Those fingers are little switches that are actuated by the card passing through the machine. There's the back of the circuit board, which is used for the keyboard. And here's the front. The little keys press those little raised strips across there to make the electrical contact. Across the very top up there are the LED displays, light emitting diode for giving you the numbers that you see in the display. And there's two ICs up there, which the rectangle packages, again, provide the electronics for driving those displays. That is the back of the keys. And there's the plastic strip, which separates the keys from that metal strips, so that if you spill coffee, it doesn't, you can quickly grab your machine and turn upside down so that it runs out. It has a little barrier there. Now, as people started using their calculators, and I'm talking now roughly the historical aspect of the HP 65, the forerunner of all personal programmable calculators, people wrote some rather sophisticated programs, and one of the areas that they directed their attention to was how to have these program cards, how to identify them. You can see the use of press-on letters. These are little magnetic strips. And, of course, you can see some of the games, some of the various types of programs that were written for, in this case, the HP 65. And, of course, the case which holds these is a plastic case that you can buy for holding ID cards. And they hold the program strips, and you can slip it in your shirt pocket with your calculator. So you now have not only external storage, but you have the ability to carry all your programs with you. More recently, the HP 67, being the same package as the original 65, has a plastic case that is of similar design to the homemade one you saw previously, and that is now the way that the cards are held. The one on the right is made by a vendor, and it holds the cards in a very, very efficient manner. You can put in your shirt pocket, say, two of those packages and hold well over 300 programs. Program cards, and now we're going to talk about this a little bit because with any computer, memory is an important aspect of it. And so with a card programmable machine, at least, the use of magnetic cards is of major concern for you. And if you're going to buy them, you may pay 30, 40 cents a piece for them. You can make them yourself as well. Go down to your surplus store and buy some computer tape labeled A there, and buy an Avery label commonly used for file folders at B. This one happens to be a computer type with the sprocket drives on it. Peel it off and put it onto the computer tape. It works out that the tape thickness and the label thickness comes up to about 7 mils, which is just what you need for a magnetic card driving through the machine. And you trim it so that at D you now have a homemade magnetic card that costs you less than a penny to make. And at E you can have a rubber stamp to divide off the areas in the card, because the magnetic card goes into the calculator and it has 5 keys below the card that allow you to dedicate your specific requirement. And this is one of the advantages of using the calculator approach, and that is you can simply at the press of a key do what you want to do. And at F has been a more elaborate stamp. Actually, the person had a photocopy of the HP card and he had a rubber stamp made and he stamps it, and you can hardly tell that from the original. The card on the bottom is what a finished card might look like, you know, really professionally done. These are some more cards, typical examples. The one on the very bottom is actually cut out of larger magnetic strips for some of the larger desktop programmable calculators. And in that case, a white ink or white rub-on letters could be used for that. Here's a little homemade cutting machine with a little guide up there, a piece of glass for cutting the width of the tape and so forth. Here are some cards made out of aluminum labels using a 3M photocopying process. And these are a set of cards. They're obviously game cards, but they represent the possibility of having colored cards. You can color code your programs. Here's a good example of a blue and a black and a red card, so that you could, for example, have all your games red and all your blue, your business functions, and all the black ones contain the telephone numbers of all your favorite friends. Here's some examples of some of the creative ways that cards are identified. You can get some idea of the power of the machine looking at the two bottom cards. The very bottom one, for example, is a volume conversion, and you will notice that there are 6 conversions above each key. So there are 6 for each of the 4 left keys, that's 24, and there are 4 others, that's 28 conversions on one card. And the program is written so that you can couple the conversions so you can have volumes on one card, weight, mass on another card. You can then interchange the cards and go from one card to another in terms of converting. So you can see that the capacity and the programming ability is starting to exceed what you can write on one card. And so the very small lettering is required to get everything on the card. And the colored cards here, again, are techniques like the Bagels logic game up there is a colored card that's been colored with one of the colored magic marker type pens. Here's a card that if the trailing edge on the top card, which is called a correction card, is cut to match the leading edge of the bottom card there, which in this case is just an example of a double precision product. Take a 20-digit number times another 20-digit number and get a 40-digit product. Is to allow you to clip the corner on the leading edge of that card, which is protect. So once you clip that corner, you can't accidentally write on your program. So once you've got it the way you want it, you can protect it. A lot of the early users were hesitant to clip the corner because somebody always had a better idea to put more on the card, and they kept wanting to modify their programs. So the correction card here works very well. You insert it into the exit slot of the calculator, and that leading little point there holds that switch up when the card comes through. It allows you to write on it anyway. So that's a clever little trick to write over cards. If we were to take the back of the magnetic card and look at the magnetic field, we would see that there are four tracks of recorded magnetized areas on there, two tracks for each side of the card. And those little vertical lines there represent either the presence or absence of a magnetized area. And we have ones and zeros, a track for ones and a track for zeros to allow the material to be recorded on the card. Looking at it a little bit more closely, we can see the very dark vertical areas there on the card are most likely head transients when the motor turned on, and the lines going across there represent the actual recorded material on the card. If we were to take, and this happens to have been an HP65 example, I use that because the density is quite high on the 6797, and also the 52, that you can't quite see them as well. But this is a user diagnostic program. And this, again, is an example of where the calculator is a little bit of a fully developed system, in that you have your input, your output, your memory, all your support documentation. It's all there, ready to use at day one when you buy your machine. This is a user diagnostic program that if you are in doubt that your machine is performing properly, run the diagnostic program through, let the computer tell you that it is or is not working properly. So I just use that as an example to give an idea of how long that track is. It's about 2.5 inches long, two tracks, only one side is recorded here. Here's an example of the instruction store 2, which would be store what you see in the display in a storage area which we call register 2. And we had 100 of those instructions on the card. So you can see it's a uniform pattern made up of ones and zeros on the two tracks. And if I were to fill up the memory of no operations, we would see that it's all ones. There's no zero track there. Now whether it's one or zero is kind of arbitrary to define. You can pick either track. And if we now take a look at it, card which has 100 returns, or one return and 99 no-ops, we can see very clearly how long or how much space it takes to record one instruction on one card. Using a calculator, you would say, I'm very restricted on my input-output. I'd like to have a printer. I'd like to have a lot of other things. These are some of the little accessories that calculator users use, a stopwatch for timing your programs. We heard a mention earlier of the computer, which is far faster than a calculator in terms of execution speed, to time the execution of a program. The radio is there to listen to the calculator because the electromagnetic output of a multiplex display can be picked up on a radio, and you can actually program the calculator to produce tones. And one example is that little red brass strip up there is used to cover up the display. A popular demonstration is to have a program that one of the members of the audience keys up a number, he covers up the display, he sets it near a radio, and a person across the room listens to the radio and tells him what number is in the display. It's sent out by kind of an audio beeping tone.
Is that a physical connection?
No, just like this, right here. Just place the radio near the calculator, and we are tuned away from a station so that you're not having the interference of a program on the radio. Now here is a homemade printer that Hewlett-Packard took the option of putting the printer with the calculator, whereas Texas Instruments made the printer and calculator separate. So of course the home brewers want to build their own, and this is a printer that was made for the HP65 to plug into, and this was made originally in Germany. Here's a close-up view of it. the controls to print what's in the display or have the printer list the program steps, what have you. Recently, and we're going to start looking at some of the other peripherals that are available with the calculators, is a device that's used for teachers, and the calculator, in this case an HP 25 on the top there, sits on top of a podium, and then the whole audience can see the display. I wanted to bring one of these along, but the manufacturer, EduCalc, has just now coming into the first unit of production for a model for the HP 67, and it was, if this was being held on Sunday, I might have had a chance to bring it along. So some of the interesting applications of what can be done with the very somewhat limited display of the calculator, I was hoping I could actually demonstrate to you, but instead I will have to be content to show you them on slides. Now, one of the things that computers do that calculators don't do very well, and while I'm an avid calculator user, you have to admit that a computer being optimized for data processing, that you cannot talk to a calculator very well. You can't use basic language, for example. Not that I would want to, because why should I have an intermediate language? I'd rather have the key just go do it. But the calculator can, in a limited extent, receive alphabetic information, and that's what this little yellow keyboard overlay does for you. Up above here, above the keys A, B, C, D, and E, is a program card that identifies the probe word game. And we see that above keys B, C, and D, we have left, center, right. That means if I wanted to have the letter E, for example, I'd look down at my keyboard and I would see D, E, F above the 8 key, and I would press the 8 key. And because E is the center letter there, I would go up and press the C key above, because that says center. Now the machine will receive that 8 that I keyed in and internally code that and store it as the letter E. Now when I retrieve that letter back out again, say it's a word or a message or something, the display will show me the digit 8.2 in the display. Well, that I look down to the 8 key and I go the second letter over, and that's the E. So I can have letters to make up words going in and out of the calculator. Logic systems for calculators. I'm not going to spend a lot of extra time this morning talking about the two basic logic systems. By logic, I mean the instruction set that you use to tell the calculator how to do a problem. Basically, there are two systems. The reverse Polish notation, the RPN system that Hewlett-Packard uses on their machines, and we have the fully automatic algebraic operating system that Texas Instruments uses on their machines. There is an awful lot of emotion. It's sort of like talking about blondes and brunettes. You know, you've got a lot of preference, a lot of your own experience. If every brunette you've dated gave you a hard time, you might favor blondes, or the other way around. It sort of gets into a number of very subjective factors that I'll try to answer later some specific questions on them, but I won't take the time this morning because we're short of time to go into the details of both systems. But there are two basic systems, and if you will look at the two basic machines, these are things that you should be aware of. The best way, of course, is sit down, if you can, play with a machine. This controversy of algebraic versus RPN, and I guess I would have to say it that way because the RPN system was the first one on the market, is addressed by ads and publications. Here's one put out by Hewlett-Packard. They called it enter versus equal, because on the RPN system, you don't have an enter or an equal key. It's a totally different system of working with the data input. Personal programmable calculator applications. Here's an example of some of the things that can be done. And remember, we're talking about numerical manipulation, dealing with numbers primarily, even though we can have word games and this type of thing. But here is a little, what I would call calculator art, and this was done originally on the HP 65. The program that was written would generate a series of points, and you would connect the points with the lines. Then you just alternately color the areas that the lines would, as they crisscross around the page, that you could alternately cover with black and white or different colors, and end up with you might call calculator art. Now, one of the problems with any of the computing devices, whether we're talking about the home computer, or we're talking about even commercial, business, industrial, scientific computers, or calculators, is a shortage of information. Now, these books that are up here are some of the many books you can find in your stores, and these books, I mention them only because they will provide some ideas and some of the things that you can to do with your machine. But they are not really going to aid you at the level that you want to work at with the personal programmable calculator. Here's an example of, for example, the owner's manual for the HP 67. It's quite extensive. It does have quite a number of tips, programming tips, as well as the explanations of the various things that the keys can do. Here's, for example, what software might look like from the manufacturer. You can buy what they call packs. This is a games pack one, for example. And you would buy the magnetic cards, you would buy the book, and have 20 or so games in various in each pack. And here's an example of a pack dedicated to playing games. And with regards to games, I just might mention that we had a Space War shown here, often called Star Trek. Maybe that's a trade name that they use, Space War, but it's one of the most popular games that you play on computers. And a somewhat scaled down, but not as scaled down as much as you think, version has been written for the advanced personal programmable calculator. So Bagels, 21, Star Trek, craps, football, golf, you name the type of games, including truly cybernetic games, that is, machine learning games. Here are some of the materials that are available from the manufacturer. Again, trying to give some information on how you may select your machine. Here's a programming book. Here's one put out by Sinclair. I mention it because it has some useful information there for the business-oriented user. Here's a book. Probably the each area has got a book that I wouldn't call this the Bible of programmable calculators, but this is one of the first books introduced about 2 years ago by John M. Smith, Scientific Analysis on the Pocket Calculator, and it's put out by Wiley. Kind of humorous because when this book was introduced, it was the first book that Wiley had put out with a coded message on the cover. If you turn it upside down and read the display, you have a message. And of course, the book dealers very quickly caught on to that. Here's one of the very few books that have been specifically written, and this was written by a user in Germany, and it is in English. They were originally planned for three of them, but he just was too busy. Robert Freund is president of a very large IC manufacturer, and he just didn't have time to do volume three. But this was written for the 65, which now is somewhat obsolete. Hopefully, the example of that work will encourage somebody to produce similar books for other machines. Here's a book on RPM. Now, again, this is not a Hewlett-Packard product, but it is put out by one of the bookstores in the Los Angeles area. They actually brought in a writer and asked them to prepare a book on RPN. So it's for the Corvus 500 and other calculators. These are non-programmable machines, but if you want to know something about RPN. Calculator User's Guide and Dictionary. I had hoped that Charles Hipple would be in our audience here tonight or today. And this is a pretty good place to get some definitions of calculator terms and a good reference book to have on your shelf. Here's a book. Now, this is getting a little bit closer towards specialized books. This is in the area of physics, applied mathematical physics with programmable pocket calculators. Now, these are the two machines that represent this book are not top-of-the-line machines. These are the 56 and the 25. In fact, he has about 19 or 20, I think, programs throughout the book, and he has for both machines. Now, there are a number of publications done by individuals. This is by Robert Fowler. It's a collection of HP 25 routines. So there, little by little, there is material becoming available. Magazine articles. Here's a rather old, about a year ago, from Popular Electronics that had quite a discussion on programmable calculators. Scientific American. And when you reach the cover of Scientific American, you know that programmable calculators are real. They're not just toys. Here are some of the books that are probably at the level. We've seen close-ups of some of them. that would be useful. The one on the upper left, calculator calculus, is quite good for reviewing your math. And it's calculator oriented because it allows the numerical aspect of the calculator to help illustrate the concepts of limit and some of the other calculator concepts. Here's a Naval postgraduate publication. And again, some of these publications are coming from, not from publishers, but rather from small schools or individuals or corporations. With 300,000 personal programmable calculators out there in the world, it's a little disappointing if there isn't more information. The home computer area definitely has a lot of attention because of its tremendous potential. But at best, I think there might be 30,000 home computer systems. There's still 10 times more programmable calculators out there, and they just quietly, day by day, go about solving problems and serving their users. Now, that's a duplicate of the one we had. Here's a technical memorandum from GE. This has some very useful information in there because it showed the electrical interface, how the HP, in this case the HP65, how it could be connected externally to other equipment. Here's a collection of programs that's put out of various calculators, and this is one of the few sources that you can go to outside of either a user's club or the manufacturer for information. Here is something that is really starts to get into an area, and this is a compiler, which is a program that is run on a larger computer system that takes programs written, in this case, Fortran language, for computers, and translates them into steps that you key into your calculator so you can run the same programs on your calculator. Now, one of the areas that the calculator is limited, and that is the use of the display primarily for numbers. Now, here is an HP67 display, and my photography is not very good, so it's not as nice as it should be. But you can see the 8 there and the E. The E comes from the internal message that the manufacturer, in this case Hewlett-Packard, has for error. If you try to divide by 0, that's an error. So they come up with the word error, E-R-R-O-R, in the display. And with very clever manipulations of the card, the magnetic card, and the numbers you put on that card, you can actually program words and phrases to come up in the display. Here's an example. This is an example of what can be put on a card. This says B-D-E-C-25. This is the first start off of a season's greetings, and it says the following: be December 25, a glad day. And that's the way it should look if my photography was a little bit better. All day, and this is just a separator, it's five zeros across there, five O's. Be 1977, and we're going to have to change our slides here. George McCarthy. McCarthy. Yeah, I believe there are a number of publications out there on the floor. The calculator calculus, I think, is at one of the publishers or one of the bookstores or calculator store booths out there. Another question?
How much would it be to put a little bigger display on it and maybe an alphabetical?
Well, adding alphabetical readout to your display is possible, and we'll talk about that in a minute, although we're running out of time. I'm going to kind of speed up here a little bit. A good year, all year. And then the program ends up with God bless, which I missed in my photography there. Now, here's a display. Once people learn how to control their display, not, by the way, in the manner that the instruction manual says, but by clever techniques, you come up with a display that looks like this, and this is could be a prompt to remind you that this is a particular program, so it comes up with a zero on the two ends of the display. You normally won't see that on a calculator display. Now, one of the problems with generating these words, and this is supposed to be the 67 library, and you'll notice that the B is really an 8. The LI are really ones, L-I-B, R is a good R, O is a good O. The four, it really, you know, if you read that 67 library, that does look like library once you've seen it and you can recognize it. Remember, we're not, this is not an alphanumeric display. This is clever programming techniques that bring this out. That a library has been established among users of calculators to share words. And so this will be some of the things that we can see here. 67 is cool. Calculator sales. Coca-Cola, and this one is one that comes up from a program that goes into the class of animated displays, where we have a ticker tape display going across the screen with Coca-Cola. Now, it is somewhat of a novelty type thing, but it does provide ideas for using them in your own programs. Coors beer, if you're not a soft drink fan. Upside down displays have been very popular with calculator users. Here's HP Polish as an example. Telephone, that C is supposed to be a T, but you know, it looks like telephone if you know it. Santa Barbara, California, an example. Colorado is quite nice. The O and the A, the same character there, Colorado. An expression like grr for some response to a program. You want to really make the air clear? Well, you just double it up. Roll dice for a card game. Deal cards. Array size, in case you're doing some mathematical operations. Special displays, combinations, such as that. This reminds me of a program, which I can't really show you because of time restrictions, of animated displays. It's sort of a Muppet show actually happening in the display. Another example. Now, an example of what can be done, I attempted to capture because I wasn't sure I could have the actual display here to show you, because if you see it, you have to kind of see it to really appreciate it. I'm going to go very quickly through the next group of slides. We are going to have a message come across, and these messages are not my programs, they're programs written by other people, that will go across the display from right to left. And I'll sort of read it as we go. That's an A, 67, or 97 is a good deal. Just went a little bit too fast there. Second one by. Let me go back here a couple of these. Okay, this is, if my photography was better and I wanted to see the machine and not just the display, this is what it really looks like if you're looking at the calculator. A 67 or 97.
This memory.
Yes, that's exactly what it's done. Sequentially brought up each one of these frames that you saw were individual registers with special numbers in them that when they come into the display, it makes the display provide the message. This is the timer, and there's the five O's again. This is a clock called, a program called a cuckoo clock, and it shows 5 o'clock, 59 minutes, and 45 seconds. Here it is 10 seconds later. And again, I didn't capture it, but that would say cuckoo when it got to 6 o'clock, and it would say cuckoo 6 times. It'd flash cuckoo, cuckoo 6 times. And if it was in a machine with a printer, the printer would just space once, you know, to tell you that it's 6 o'clock. Now, one of the areas that are very useful, some of these word phrases, is they add dimensions to your programs. And here's a program called the Arithmetic Teacher, and it's one that comes with, you know, the machine when you buy it. And you can come back with expressions like correct, disagree, and this is a add, subtract, multiply, divide program to exercise children in learning their early arithmetic. So sorry, good Lord, did good, they like that one. Score is, and at the end of the program, it actually keeps the score for the child, and he can see how good he's done. Usually it's every 10 problems, every 20 problems. Goodbye. Now, one of the things that when users get with their machines, they do things that the manufacturer didn't intend them to do, and that's of course true with any computing system, large or small. And so I should caution you that if you ever get your hands on some of these programs, don't put them in an HP 97 and print the display. In other words, do not print alphabetic displays on your HP 97. I say that because being involved in a calculator club and publishing material and publishing a lot of the techniques in doing this, I'm obligated to remind owners that be careful, know what you're doing, don't burn out your HP 97. And if you're interested in calculators and you want some more information, the Council of Personal Programmable Calculator Users Organizations can give you the names and addresses of groups. There are typically, or there are right now, 4 charter members, one in Germany and 3 in the U.S. for the various top-of-the-line programmable calculators. They're not here. I guess I'm the only one here, and I, of course, started in 1974, the HP 65 Users Club, and I think I have some copies that list the other groups if somebody wants to see me after. This is a type of machine that is not been talked about. This is the HP 25. I'm surprised that that snuck in there. Although I think it was there just to remind me that the most of the calculator information that you find disseminated today in publications, you will have found that it was available to members of clubs a year, 9 months to a year earlier. This classic example, maybe some of you have heard of the famous HP 45 digital timer that was not intended to be known to the public. They were not able to have the crystal in there to make it accurate, so they just didn't tell the buying public that it was really programmed in there. And once it was discovered, of course, most HP 45 owners were very happy to have an added feature because you can press the proper keys and make it work. And of course, through the calculator clubs, usually these very strong enthusiasts working with their machines develop these ideas first. And if you ever wondered, you know, who found the HP 45 timer, you can consult some of the back issues of the newsletters and see the original write-up on it. And we're toward the end here, and I just want to emphasize a personal opinion at least, and that is personal computing to me means personal computing on my person, with my person, and the machines today can be with me in my briefcase, in my pocket, in my hand. And surely the power of the machines, of the new models of machines coming out this year and machines that will be available in the years to come will put that Altair in your shirt pocket. When it invades the bedroom, you know that it's arrived, and I have to smile at this because this was the cover of Automation Magazine probably a year and a half ago. And it's rather cute because, as was mentioned earlier, the consuming enthusiasm that these machines can have for you and your attention can really do things. And a very good friend of mine sent this to, at that time, his girlfriend. Of course, it was a black and white reproduction of a newsletter. She was in Australia at the time, and she sent it back to him. Happy computing.